Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Tuesday, April 23rd. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Matty Robinson in the house and ready to break down a Tuesday NHL Stanley Cup playoff card. Four more games on tap here for tonight. Shout out to everyone that joined us on the BetCast last night. A lot of fun, always a good time, and lots of excitement with the NHL games last night. We had a couple games, especially the early games in the East. Right down to the wire, Vegas-Dallas as well. Was a one-goal game in the end. The only game that really was a lopsided, lack of drama type of finish was LA and Edmonton. But it was a fun night of playoff hockey. The BetCast is always fun, always with a great group of people. And we thank all of you for joining us last night on the BetCast. And you know what? It was an up-and-down night with the live bets. We do have to say one thing. There's only one man that had a brain last night with that Carolina result against the Islanders, and that was Matt Robinson. He's the only one that had the brains, the fucking the guts to take the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know what me, Alex, John Massey, what any of us were doing last night with that. It was staring us right in the face. We saw that the Islanders had blown a few games already this season. And we'll start there because that was the absolute craziest game of the night, the way it just completely unraveled for the New York Islanders. And look, Jimmy Murphy uses this term more than I do, and because it's a harsh term. It's a really, really harsh way to ridicule a hockey team when you use the C word. And I'm talking about choke job. But that's exactly what it is from the New York Islanders last night. That's what it was. I mean, you have a 3-0 lead in that game. You actually kill off a couple penalties in the second period to get to the third period, still up 3-1. And you're still in great shape, you know, at that time. But they just let Carolina, you know, have the puck most of the third period, you know, come after them shift after shift, hemming the Islanders in the defensive zone. And sure enough, of course, Carolina made it 3-2 midway through the third. And then, of course, they were going to have to sweat out and try to pull this game home with Carolina having the extra attacker in the final few minutes. But little did we think that 3-2 would become, first of all, 3-3, which actually I wasn't totally shocked by that, but that 12 seconds later, the Carolina Hurricanes would also take the 4-3 lead late in the third. And then, of course, they added the empty netter to put it away 5-3. Just an absolutely horrific loss for the New York Islanders. Awful, awful loss. This is going to be the ultimate test of their mentality, because that is a tough one to pick yourself up off the mat, considering I thought they played pretty well again last night for much of that game, and now they have a 2-0 series deficit to show for their efforts in Carolina, which weren't really all that bad. I don't think they played bad in game one. And I thought for much of game two last night, they played a solid game, but just too many breakdowns, a little too conservative. And Alex made a great point on the BetCast last night. Don't you have to take a timeout there at some point late in that third period if you're Patrick Waugh, to just calm the waters, let everybody catch their breath and say, boys, it's a tie game right here. You know, we can still win this thing. Let's settle down. Let's get back to our game. That didn't happen. And the next thing you know, puck's in the net. 12 seconds later, Carolina takes the lead. That is a brutal loss for the New York Islanders. It is a choke job. It's a complete and utter meltdown. And the meltdown continued right through to when the Carolina Hurricanes and Jake Guentzel scored that empty net goal to make it 5-3, where the Islanders, look, he's scoring into the empty net. He didn't, like, show you up or anything like that. And then the Islanders are just going after and attacking Guentzel and trying to, you know, throw punches at him just for putting the game away in the empty net. You know, you should be throwing punches at yourself, you know, for a complete and utter meltdown, a complete and utter collapse, you know, late in the third period. That's who you should be angry at. Don't be mad at Guentzel. He's just doing his job, you know, putting that game away. And then Palmieri's losing his mind, and Cizikas is trying to get after him. I mean, it was an ugly scene for the New York, almost like a sore loser type of look, you know, at the end of that game last night. Sore loser, butt hurt, that they absolutely shit the bed, you know, late in the third period in that game. So what a job, though. You have to give Carolina credit. And this is what makes Carolina scarier this year in the playoffs. They've got offense that can come back now in games, and Guentzel's a big part of that. So it was just complete and utter meltdown by the Islanders. Credit to Carolina, and they take a 2-0 series lead there. Brutal for us, because I thought I had a chance to sweep that game. +1.5 down the drain, money line down the drain. And then the only thing that hit was the over. Thank goodness we had that at least. But an unfortunate loss for the Islanders, and a damaging one at that. Toronto and Boston, the seminal playoff moment for Austin Matthews last night. His signature playoff moment where he's arrived in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game-winning goal, 2 assists, 3 points on the night. Absolutely outstanding performance from number 34. His best playoff game as a Maple Leaf. There's no denying that whatsoever. He was all over the ice last night, all over the puck, defensively responsible, taking the body, physical, and of course had the unbelievable play to catch the puck like a wide receiver in football, drop it in front of him, and then just basically not even breaking stride, able to get in on a breakaway and beat Linus Allmark for the game-winning goal. Huge win for the Leafs to tie up that series. Yeah, are there still flaws in their game? Yes. But they found a way without Nylander for a second straight game. Tavares got a big tying goal. Bertuzzi and Domi were outstanding. I think Mitch Marner's got to pick up his bootstrap. He still wasn't great, but it didn't matter. They won in spite of that. Big win for the Leafs. And by the way, the people, the Bruins fans that are ripping on poor Jim Montgomery for the alternating goalies, Linus Allmark was fine last night. Right? Linus Allmark was all right. I mean, he made a bunch of huge saves when that game was 2-2. If you think goaltending is why you lost that game, you better start looking at other reasons why you lost. I don't think it was goaltending. Allmark had a pretty good game. The alternating goalies was obviously something. Look, if they were going to lose that game, there's obviously going to be people that are going to be upset that they went to Allmark. And Raymond's been great against the Chiefs, and they had a great game one. But I think there's way more than goaltending as to why the Boston Bruins lost last night in game two out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Vegas and Dallas, you just can't get behind like that and expect to win a playoff game. You know, 1-0 early on. The penalty wasn't the best call, in my opinion. And then to go down 2-0, I mean, it's up to Dallas to set the tone. This is a team that punked your ass last year in the first round. The best you can do is fall down 2-0 in the first 10 minutes of that first period last night. You just got to be better from the opening puck drop. You know, I it's one thing to say, okay, chintzy calls, soft calls, you know, and all that, but you got to be better from the opening puck drop. I like the way they responded after they fell down 2-0 to get to 2-1. But then again, start of the period, not ready, not fucking ready. Down 3-2 at the beginning of the second period, and it's 4-2 just like that. That's a horrendous way to set the tone at the beginning of the period. Just when you got that Robertson goal in the first period to make it 3-2 and then 4-2, and you're behind the eight ball again against a team that, by the way, now has everybody healthy with the magic of LTIR, including their blue line, including Mark Stone. Kind of fitting, I guess, he got the first goal last night. They're just swimming up, you know, they basically trying to push a boulder uphill for the rest of the game, Dallas, after that, down 4-2. Credit to them. They got it within one, and, man, did they have their chances. late in the third with the extra attacker. Several good looks to try to tie the game, but they got to clean up some penalties. They got to start periods better. And you've got to be dialed in from the opening puck drop. So I don't know if it's Pete in the dressing room between periods. I don't know if this is on Jamie Benn, but there's something that has to be done here, game two and moving forward, to have better starts to begin a period from this Dallas Stars team, because the first and the second period starts to this hockey game for them sewered them last night, cost them a chance to win game one, a game that I thought was very important for them. We'll see, though, if they can respond in game two against the Vegas Golden Knights. To me, I thought there were a lot of good things from Dallas as far as response level after falling behind, carrying the play for extended stretches of the game. They did outshoot the Golden Knights heavily last night, but you just cannot have these lapses early in the period. And it happened twice to them last night in the first period and the second period. It's hard to dig yourself out when that happens. But Ben was good. I will say that Ben had a really good game. That was promising moving forward, for sure, for the Dallas Stars. And again, it's see if they can rebound on Wednesday night in game two. And last game of the night was LA Edmonton, just a domination by the Edmonton Oilers. They looked too fast for the Kings. Kings were, looked like they were skating in quicksand. The power play ate them alive. The great Jack Michaels, of the voice of the Oilers on television during the season, radio now in the playoffs, great tweet, 50% power play percentage efficiency for the Oilers against the Kings the last 3 years, including last night in the playoffs. That's not going to get it done. That's simply not going to get the job done if the LA Kings hope to win this series against the Edmonton Oilers. The power play has eaten them alive. Zach Hyman, hat trick in the game one last night, is just a spectacular season continues for the Edmonton Oilers. The magic he and Connor McDavid have right now is special. You got everybody else chipping in. Warren Fogle gets a goal, which cashed a goal prop. Adam Henrique, we talked about, there's great value for him right now. What a great addition by Holland. You got to give him credit. Adam Henrique is just a great veteran to add that's really going to help them in a playoff run like this. And, of course, he scores for Edmonton last night. So they were just too much for L.A. And to be honest with you, even though long-term moving forward, I still have to see more good play from Skinner. You know, the jury's still out. He's still probably better than anything LA has in net right now. And that's something that would be concerning too for the LA Kings. Like, you have nowhere to turn. I don't want to hear this nonsense where we should have Riddick in game two. Riddick's playoff record is not good. Okay. So it's not like you're taking Talbot out and you're putting, a 1B in there that is, someone that's every bit as reliable. That's not the case. So I think you have to come back to Talbot and just hope for better things in game two. And to be honest, the team has to play better. I thought defensively, that was not LA Kings defense last night. PK sucked. 5-on-5 even strength defense sucked. They gave up 40 shots. The LA Kings usually don't play hockey that way, and they certainly are not a team capable of winning playing that way. They'll have to fix that in game two. Alex, thoughts on the night overall? Great BetCast, and man, what an exciting night of action.
Yeah, it was a fun night. Shout out to everybody who came out and joined us for the BetCast. And like I said, interesting games, to say the least. I got to say this myself. As a person who's always holding everyone accountable on this show, whether it's the ownership and the leadership in the NHL, whether it's the announcers, it's the fans, it's the players, it's the coaches, I have to hold myself accountable as well. Not catching on to that Carolina spot, knowing that the Corsi numbers were literally tripled in favor of the Hurricanes and trying to ride with my series bets was absolutely just ridiculous. And I owe everyone an apology for watching the BetCast last night for that. We all should have cashed big time with that play. And letting that ball drop, that's something that just doesn't sit well with me. I was very upset about it throughout the night. I'm still not happy about it today, but we got to move forward past it. But recognizing those spots, that's literally what the BetCast is for. That's why we started
staring us in our face, and only our good buddy here, Matt, was smart enough to actually pull the trigger on it.
So kudos to you, Matt, for actually going through and following through with that. But definitely not happy about that. And with the Isles, like I said, with the way the game ended and how they got chippy at the end of the game, I'm not mad about that at all. You have to do that. After you blow a big lead like that on the road and now you're down 0-2, you have to show that team, hey, we're not giving up yet. So I had no problem with them running after Gensel, running after guys. No, you still got to let them know we're fucking here. This is still a series. And that's their way of doing that. Now you have to bring that energy into the first period in a positive manner when you get home in game three. But I have no problem with them wrapping that game up the way they did by getting a little physical at the end. That's kind of the way you're supposed to do it. Take your frustration out while you're on the ice now, then put that aside and get ready mentally for game three and beyond. So in saying that, with the other games, that game with Toronto and Boston was just a fun one to watch. And, yep. and you know, back and forth pace. It had the pace of a 7-6 game like a Colorado-Winnipeg, but the goaltending was great. We saw some timely saves. We saw a couple of close calls, a couple of things called back as well in games throughout the night. But like I said, Austin Matthews, to finally get the monkey off his back to get what's essentially his 70th goal this year, but to have it be a playoff goal and a game winner, no less, that is big for them. That's big for Toronto to at least get a split out of Boston, now come home, and hopefully for them, try them to get a 2-1 series lead out of that. So they have a momentum they can ride right now with that win. And I think that's going to be a solid back-and-forth series. We said it. This feels like it's going to be a 6-7 game kind of a series, and it's going to have that kind of a pace and flow. So definitely enjoyed watching that game. For the late stuff with Vegas and Dallas, you know, Dallas, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know, giving up those goals early in the first period. That's been a thing all year. But having the resiliency to bounce back, that's the thing that makes me believe, okay, this Dallas team's not just completely dead in the water. They have that resiliency. They have that bounce back. There's only a few teams that are still in the playoffs that have that. Dallas is one of them. So you got to have better starts, but at least you can rely on the fact that, okay, even if we do start off, we give up a goal, we have the horses to, you know, even things out, balance things out, and move forward. That being said, they have to come out big and heavy in game two. There's no way you can afford to let Vegas get the first goal in game two. Dallas has to be as dominant as they possibly can in the first 10 minutes, never mind the first period, the first 10 minutes of that game. They have to step up and show out if they're going to make this a competitive series. They can certainly not afford to go down 2-0 heading into Vegas and heading into that kind of atmosphere, which we know will be absolutely electric. So they have to take care of business there. And Edmonton Oilers taking care of business in a big way. Zach Hyman getting the hat trick. Kings are just shaky. They looked slow for most of the night early. The defensemen were just kind of caught out of position. Goaltenders out of position. And that's just a bad spot to be in when you're talking about this dynamite of an offense with the Oilers. Like you mentioned, the power play numbers now. If they start getting frustrated, start taking those extra hits after the whistle and put themselves in the penalty box, Edmonton's going to make them pay for it. So that could be a shorter series. And that's one where we might have to start looking at some of those team totals over power play goals, things of that nature within that series. But LA's got to play much smarter hockey and much faster hockey if they possibly can.
That is for sure. There's no doubt. Matt, obviously, your first and foremost and utmost attention last night was your beloved Dallas Stars. But overall, it was an exciting night with all four games. Disappointing for Dallas, but exciting overall.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, we talked about it last night, but I really am not that stressed. Again, if they had rolled over and died and lost 4-5-1, then I'd be like, well, you know, congrats on first in the West in the regular season. But
I agree with that. You did show pushback. You just can't start that way. You can't put yourself in a hole that quickly, that soon. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, and it was honestly one of those games for me where early in the day, I felt really good about Dallas. And as it got closer to game time, it just kind of felt like a trap game a little bit. You know, all the attention was on Stone coming back. Stars fans were already complaining before the game even started. You know, I think the fact that they were able to kind of not dominate the play, but definitely outplayed Vegas the last 39 and a half minutes of the game. I think it's time to like move on from the long-term IR bullshit. Like, hey, this is the team we're playing in this series and you've got to fucking play them. I think, you know, that fourth goal, I know you mentioned it. You can't give up a goal the first minute, you know, after getting some momentum back. But, I mean, that's a fluky goal. That happens every now and then. But, like you can't blame Ottinger for that one. You can't really blame Miro. It's just a weird shot from the point that was in the perfect place at the right time. So, but, yeah, love the pushback. They gave themselves a chance. And I was, you know, talking to some buddies after the game. And it's, you know, given – Vegas being fresh, they are a big physical team. You know, do you want them to get to overtime, maybe a second overtime and lose? Or would you rather just take your medicine and lose in regulation? If those are the only two options. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, Dallas lost game one in the first round last year at home against Minnesota. Vegas lost game one at home last year in the first round against Winnipeg. You know how their playoff run ended. I think I do agree with you. A, you know, game two is more or less a must win. If you're going back to Vegas down 0-2, it's, you know, more or less a miracle wish at that point to try and come back in the series. And even more important than that, you need that first goal. So, likes the push. I feel like, you know, Vegas should leave that game knowing, like, hey, it's not that they got lucky. They played a good game, but, you know, that could have went the other way with a couple bounces. The Suter goal gets called back. The questionable offsides in the third period that was blown down, you know, and clearly didn't look like offsides. Vegas goaltending is still a question mark to me. I mean, the Robertson goal was not a great goaltending effort, but God, that Mason Marchman goal. I think my Mensley goalie might make that save. So, yeah, I think if Dallas comes out and plays a complete game tomorrow and starts out hot, you go to Vegas 1-1, maybe you come back from Vegas 2-2. It's a brand new series, and you've got home ice in those last three games. So I'm not stressed yet. Might be a different story on Thursday if Dallas drops tomorrow. But
isn't it nice to be Matt Robinson? No stress, not a fucking care in the world, no problems, but, no anxiety. Just feeling good. It's all good. Life's good. Down 1-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Hey, all good.
Yeah, exactly. But no, outside of that, great night. Solid betting night. You know, I won't repeat what you guys went into too heavily, but I did, you know, get on that Carolina game. So that was a nice hit. The other two games for me, I had Toronto money line. I had Toronto. I believe to score three goals, so we get the push there. But I did have Matthews to score as well. It just seemed like a game Toronto was going to win, you know, similar to, you know, Dallas in their series. Like, Toronto wants to go home 1-1. You know, obviously Dallas, it's the reverse. But I feel like a lot of these series that could go either way, you know, 1-1 is kind of what you expect. I don't think anyone expected Dallas to sweep Vegas. So, hey, it's one game. You know, I think Toronto puts themselves in a position to be fully alive. The Carolina game, on the other hand, I think kind of gives the vibe that, you know, it doesn't really matter if the Islanders come out and play well. Carolina is going to win this series. I think they might sweep. I think they may give the Islanders one game. But it just, after game one and two, it seems like one of those things that it doesn't really matter how good or bad the Islanders play. It doesn't really matter how good or bad Carolina plays as far as a complete game. They're going to get it done. So, you know, it's just what happens this time of year. And then, yeah, caught probably the second half of that Edmonton game. Obviously, you know, it even got closer in the end than it really was. It was sort of what I expected. I mean, Edmonton kind of had full control the whole game. Obviously, shouts to Zach Hyman getting three goals in the first game of the playoffs. It's probably a nice feeling to already have three goals, you know, going into game two, and fucking McDavid with five helpers. Like, give me a break. That's insane. So
Bouchard, yeah, had four assists. I think, four assists for Bouchard, five for McDavid. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, exciting night. Again, on that Dallas Vegas game, even though the results in the end wasn't there, I did have a Ben goal prop. I had a Robertson goal prop. I had a Wyatt Johnston assist prop. Like, there were some good prop plays that hit. So it was still a profitable game in the end. And yeah, hopefully they bounce back tomorrow. So I guess we'll see.
It's funny you mentioned all these assist props and all the ones that we talked about that hit, especially for Edmonton last night. It's kind of why you're going to see on this show and moving forward, I'm starting to look more and more into that market, the assist props. Moving forward as well, because there's some really good opportunities with that. You mentioned Wyatt Johnston, the Edmonton players. There's definitely a few that stand out, especially defensemen. Defensemen are really getting involved in the offense here early in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So there's a lot of good opportunities as far as assist props, especially from the blue line, as far as that's concerned.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Great stuff. All right, let's get into Tuesday. Four more Stanley Cup playoff games tonight. All of them, of course, are game two matchups. We'll begin at Madison Square Garden, Washington Capitals, New York Rangers. Rangers up 1-0 in the series, minus 290, home favorites, Rangers in game two, 5.5 the total in this game. I think the Capitals were hoping to hear some better news about the status of their depleted blue line going into game two tonight, but they're not going to get the news they wanted. It looks like Nick Jensen is still out. Rasmus Sandin is still out. One of the players that filled in on the blue line in game one got hurt during game one, Vincent Iorio, and he is not going to be available tonight either. So called up from Hershey in the American Hockey League, Lucas Johansson and Hardy Hammond-Actel going to be called up from Hershey. Now, look, these are defensemen that have played with a winning environment, winning culture. Hershey is the defending Calder Cup champions last year. They beat Coachella Valley in the finals. They're having another really good season this year. So they come from a strong minor league team, you know, down in the American Hockey League. But, you know, you are still throwing these young defensemen, inexperienced at the NHL level, you know, into a situation where they're going to have to play in a Stanley Cup playoff game. And it's not easy, not an easy adjustment to make. And it's a domino effect because not only are you going to have to play a Lucas Johansson tonight, but now you're moving Dylan McIlrath, who is not exactly a fast skater, not exactly someone built to play more minutes against some top flight players on opposing teams. All of a sudden, because of the injuries, he's on the second pairing tonight for Washington with Alexander Alexiev. And all of a sudden, that's going to mean for John Carlson and Martin Fehervaari on that top pairing, they're going to get just, you know, drilled into the ice with ice time tonight. And they're going to have to play a ton of minutes. I'm sure it's not ideal for Carberry to have to do this, but you know you're going to see a lot of Carlson and Fehervaari tonight with all these issues at the back end right now for the Washington Capitals. Very interesting to see what they do. I mean, with the depleted blue line, they didn't generate enough offense, and I think they tried to play a tight-checking trap style, and it didn't work out well for them, and their offense obviously did very little against the Capitals. All you got to, against the Rangers, all you got to do is look at Washington's Alex Ovechkin and see that he had zero shots on goal in game one. And I think if you're Washington, you realize, hey, with this blue line depleted as it is, we can't just, I don't know if they're going to play this way. They could try to play slow and tighten it up again and try to play a very under type of style once again. But I think they should realize, and hopefully they do, that if we're going to win tonight, we've got to try to generate offense. We've got to try to score goals. We've got to try to push at least a little bit. I understand not wanting to give up counterattack opportunities and odd man rushes with a depleted blue line, but you have to generate way more shots, way more quality chances than you did in game one if you're going to even have a chance to compete with the New York Rangers in this series starting tonight. So I'm hoping they take a little bit more of an aggressive approach tonight, Washington, in this game. We talked about this on the BetCast last night, that the team down in the or the team that's lost the previous game in the series to bet their team total over 2.5 in the next game. Very, very interested to see how that goes throughout the playoffs. Well, sure enough, the first two game twos last night were Toronto-Boston, Islanders-Hurricanes. Toronto off a game one loss, the Islanders off a game one loss. Toronto's team total over 2.5 in game two, it cashes, they score three goals. The Islanders off a game one loss, their team total in game two was 2.5. It cashes. They score three goals. This is an angle I'm paying attention to, and this is an angle I'm actually going to sprinkle on here tonight in this game. Now, I don't love this as much as some of the other teams that we'll talk about later on this Tuesday slate, but at plus 152 at Pinnacle for Washington over 2.5, I am going to sprinkle on that a little bit. I'm also going to, believe it or not, take a small piece of the Rangers team total over 3.5 minus 102 as well, and a piece of the full game over 5.5. That's what I've made up my mind on this game. Small bets across the board. There's other games I feel better about than this one, but to look at this game, that's the way I'm going to approach it here, because Washington's got to step things up offensively. I don't think you can put too much stress and duress in a low-scoring grinder with this depleted blue line as you did in game one. So, and I also think, too, with the depleted blue line, the Rangers are going to have opportunities to make hay, especially with the man advantage. And like I said, I don't love the prospects of Washington totally shutting down the Rangers here tonight when I see a guy like Dylan McIlrath, a journeyman player, bounced around between the NHL and AHL for his whole career as a second-pair defenseman now in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Never in a million years would this happen, if not for all these injuries right now for the Washington Capitals. So we're going to go Caps over 2.5, plus 152, little over 3.5 with the Rangers team total as well, minus 102, and over 5.5. You can get that around minus 105 or so here in this game tonight. Alex, what do you think? Capitals, Rangers.
So, yeah, I like the over bifecta in this. I like that first period over. I'm going to grab a little bit now. You can get plus 105, which means I definitely will be looking for a little bit more plus money a couple of minutes into the contest. Overall, also like 5.5. And I'm also on that Rangers team total over 3.5. I actually laid $1.10 last night. Washington, and like I said, I like the angle with the over 2.5 on a team that's lost in game one. I actually have that spot in a different game. But with Washington, the biggest concern for me was how they were just completely held to the outside perimeter for the majority of that game late after the Rangers had their big offense about putting the second period. Like I said, they basically looked like a group of guys that were roller skating, just around the edge, around the edge, around the edge. Nothing up and down the middle of the ice, even the neutral zone, even their own zone. It seemed like they never had control of the puck when it was in between the circles. And that's a problem. And like I said, when you have guys like Ovechkin not shooting, obviously we're going to see his shot output increase. You have to give him the puck more, but you have to have guys just overall as a whole shooting more, but you need quality shots too. You got to get bodies in front. You got to get traffic in front. You got to find ways to get that space. And if it means hitting a few guys early, so be it. Everybody was hyping up about, Rempe being, the catalyst. We might see Rempe fight Wilson or McIlrath or something, but no, you know what Rempe did? Rempe kept the space clear in front of his own net, and then he created traffic in front of Lindgren and then ended up getting the first goal of the game. So you got to have guys step up and dominate space on the ice. And so far, it looks like the Rangers have controlled the ice space for most of the 60 minutes in game one. If they do that again in game two, they'll more than likely be winning this one and going to DC with a 2-0 lead. So definitely looking at the over 5.5, over first period 1.5, plus 105. But we'll be adding more on in game, and I'm going Rangers team total over 3.5.
All right, good stuff. So team total over for Alex with the Rangers, first period over as well. Did you touch the full game over?
Full game over 5.5.
Full game over as well. Yeah, over bifecta. That's right. You said over bifecta. So there we go with that. And I'm on the two team totals and the over 5.5 for the full game. I agree. Like Shesterkin is right. Two goals or less in what, 10 straight playoff games. It's also though why the plus 152 is the price on that Washington Capitals team total over 2.5. There's a reason it's big a price, plus 152, because they know Washington struggled to score goals and Shesterkin's been on this incredible heater in the playoffs going back to last year. So, but I'm still taking a shot. Like I said, this angle is 2-0. So far in the Stanley Cup playoffs, team total over 2.5 for a team that lost the previous game in the series. It's 2-0, Leafs and Islanders. It hit for both of them last night. We'll see if it can be the same for Washington here. Matt, what do you think here? Caps, Rangers.
Yeah, so I'm actually on the exact same three bets as Alex. I'm on the bifecta and then the Rangers team total. I don't hate that Washington team total over. I think they will give some pushback. But that adds to my confidence in the game over, just because I think they've got to take some chances. I think, New York can easily put up 4 or 5 goals on this Caps team with their deflated defense, which makes me like the team total over as well. I lean way Rangers here. I mean, you can always take a shot and see if John Massey's right and the Caps make things tougher on the Rangers than they have to. But I just think they're the better team. They're in better form. They have the better goaltender. They're at home. I would just be shocked if Washington wins this game. So, just an over bifecta as well as team total Rangers. And then I'm looking at a couple props, maybe something that'll come up a little later in the show.
far as props go, I still think John Carlson from the blue line, take a shot with him maybe to score a goal or an assist for Washington. Adam Fox assist, Panarin assist. You know, if you're looking at assist props, those are good places to look. Chris Kreider to score a goal, because he just seems to be automatic in the playoffs. I mean, I think this is quite the goal-scoring run that he's been on, going back to last year's playoffs as well. So keep that in mind. Lafreniere, I like. I agree with Cuban Wayne Gretzky. I think Lafreniere has a chance to get on the board. I agree. John Carlson's worth a look. So those are definitely some of the props that I'm interested in. Yeah, this feels like Connor McMichael on the top line, centering that line with Ovechkin. I'm kind of interested, too, just to maybe he can get things rolling a little bit for them. He's certainly going to get that opportunity playing on the top line tonight for the Washington Capitals. All right, Battle of Florida. Next up, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Panthers minus 180, home favorites, 5.5 the total in this game. It was a very good game one, very competitive. Lower scoring than I thought, 3-2 Panthers in that game. It ended up staying under the full game total, but we did cash two-thirds of the over trifecta with the Lightning and the Panthers in game one. First period went over. First period, both teams to score also hit in that game. I'm back to it tonight. First period over. First period, both teams to score. Over 5.5. Over trifecta here in this game. And this is another game where I'm testing that angle out here with Tampa Bay team total over 2.5. Again, we have a team that lost game one. Their team total coming off a loss in the next game is 2.5. And that angle is a perfect 2-0 so far here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm going to take that over 2.5 with the Tampa Bay Lightning here tonight, expecting, you know, a pretty solid pushback and response from them after dropping game one. Look, to be honest with you, if you're Tampa Bay, you played pretty shitty at 5-on-5 even strength against Florida in game one, and yet you were still only down, you still only lost the game 3-2. At the end of the night. So over 2.5 minus 106 at Pinnacle for that Tampa Bay Lightning team total. Over 2.5, we're on that as well. Certainly the money line, I lean that way, but I feel better about the team total for Tampa Bay. Certainly I'm going to have more. I'm going to sprinkle on Tampa plus 150, but I feel the stronger Tampa Bay option is the team total, which you can get over 2.5 here at minus 106 in this game. They're good off a loss in the playoffs. Vasilevsky historically has been phenomenal off a loss in the playoffs. Now, not as good last year. We saw him, he actually did lose a couple in a row in the Toronto series last year in the first round, but I'm talking going back, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and for most of his Lightning career off a loss, Vasilevsky, the record is still pretty damn good all time for him at, off a loss. So that's what I'm going with. I'm expecting an entertaining game. It was a game that early on the pace was there, the goals were there. This could be a game too, where even though I'm on the over trifecta, if you want to skew to the first period over, as in put more of your money on the first period over as opposed to the full game over, I wouldn't disagree with that, because obviously in game one we did see the first period over hit, but the full game did not. But I'm back on the over trifecta, small little shekels on Tampa plus 150, bigger chunk on Tampa over 2.5. Minus 106 with their team total. Alex, what do you think here? Battle of Florida, game two.
Yeah, so I like the first period over. Rolling with that, I got minus $1.12 earlier this morning. Also running it back with the over 1.5 power play goals. We did cash that. Got two power play goals in the third period of game one. Cash that, and it's still plus 135 available at FanDuel. But I'm also on Tampa Bay. I got plus 160 yesterday. This does line up with a couple series plays I have with Tampa Bay needing to win game two in that spot. But as you mentioned, Vasilevsky is absolutely stellar in the playoffs, but just overall in his career off of a loss. This is a Tampa Bay team that's going to, like I said, show they showed more energy as the game went on. You know, like I said, they had the kind of slow spots in the first, but they're a team that, you know, we know that they're battle tested, they're battle proven. This is a team you can trust off of a loss more than just about any other team that's in the postseason right now. And getting this decent of a plus price. He said, full game over, I think we might have a chance to grab in game. I think we could see this being a 1-1 first period, kind of like we saw in game one, and then things kind of slow down. We might be able to get a 4.5 or something a bit adjusted with the full game over. So I'm going to wait on that. But I'm definitely liking first period over, 1.5. Minus $1.12 along with that over 1.5 of the power play goals. I think we do see some more penalties here. I think we see it be a little bit chippier after that game one when things are kind of settled. Florida being a lot more disciplined, which is a good sign for them. But I think Tampa Bay is going to kind of rattle them around a little bit more in that aspect. We're going to definitely see some more dirtiness after the whistles and things of that nature. So we should have the power play chances both going both ways.
Yeah, this is also for props. There's a bunch that I'm looking into here as far as that goes. On the Florida side, I like Verhaeghe again. Verhaeghe is just a playoff performer. Scored, of course, in game one in the Panthers' victory. I mean, I would really not overcomplicate it. Tarasenko, to me, is a little hit or miss when it comes to the playoffs as far as production is concerned. Stick with the guys that you really, truly believe can bring it. Bennett's another one. Bennett didn't score, but he had a bunch of chances. He was noticeable in game one. Reinhardt, obviously, Tkachuk. And Verhaeghe. I mean, don't really overthink it. Those are the three guys that I have full confidence in elevating and getting the job done offensively at playoff time. Yeah, Rodriguez is someone that's depends on where he is. Is he still on the third line for Florida? He is with Lundell and Lustarinen. Did have a couple chances, though, so I don't mind a shot there. For Tampa, I'm going to go with Kucherov over 1.5 assists here tonight in this game. Kucherov over 1.5 assists. You'll be able to get at least a little plus money on that prop here tonight. Braden Point to score, because usually off a loss and he finds the back of the net. It's pretty uncanny how often that is. Stamkos has been red hot. Hagel and Cirelli. And I'm not shying away from Nick Paul. I know Nick Paul didn't score in game one, but he's another one that had a bunch of chances. Puck could have easily went in for him in game one, and he's another one that's his playoff performances the last year or two have been really strong, and you're getting great value on Nick Paul as far as a goal prop. So I'm going to go with that as well here for props on the Tampa side. Matt, what do you like here? Game two, Tampa Bay, Florida.
Yeah, so I'm going to go on the over by Fekta here. I think it'll be a little more scoring than game one in the long run, but hopefully we get that first period over and get things rolling quickly. I'm also on Tampa Bay money line, but I'm going to split it Tampa Bay money line and Tampa Bay team total over 2.5, a play we do a lot during the regular season. But yeah, I love Tampa Bay to bounce back here. And then prop wise, I definitely am going to be on Anthony Duclair anytime goal, anytime point, anytime assist. He's plus 130 to get a point. He's still slated to play with Kucherov on that top line. And his assist prop is plus 220, you know, again, playing on that top line. So he is on the second power play, so he doesn't get the same minutes as that top unit that's so lethal. But, you know, if he gets – if you do the trifecta like that and he gets an assist or a goal, you know, you hit 2 of 3 with all three plus money prices, you're leaving happy. So on the off chance he gets a goal and an assist, obviously you're really happy, but yeah, I still like that. As long as he's still on that top line when it comes down, I might wait until closer to game time just to verify it, or at least see if I can see what the lines were at practice today. But yeah, I expect Tampa to bounce back here. I love the price. I'm hoping they do. You know,
I'm hoping they do too, Matt. You know why? I'm hoping they do too, because you know why? If they tie it up and they win tonight, I'll be on Florida in game three, the best road team in the NHL, or one of the best road teams. Yep.
Yeah, so this could definitely be a series that just flip-flops literally back and forth until game seven. And then, as Alex mentioned, you know, it's impossible to bet against Vasilevskiy in a game seven. So that'll be a tough spot if it does end up getting down to that game seven. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for tonight to be a little more action, a little more goals. I think maybe that we'll see a couple more power plays. Maybe it'll be a little more chippy. So definitely love that over 1.5 power play prop. I haven't been able to find it on any of the books I use, but I love that as far as the bet goes.
No, I think this is a night to sprinkle a little bit on the power play point props for Tampa. I think Tampa will get a few more. They didn't get many power plays in game one, but credit to Florida. You know, Florida had pretty good discipline in that game. They stayed out of the box, which is critical to beating this Tampa Bay team. But I have a feeling a little more urgency and desperation in the Tampa Bay game tonight will lead to drawing a few more penalties from the Florida Panthers and could lead to more power play opportunities. I mean, you take the one that's there's a bunch that, you know, Stamkos at plus 215 for a power play point, Braden Point plus 210, Nick Paul plus 525, you know, Kucherov plus 110, Cirelli plus 600. So, you know, those are all available options for power play point props tonight involving Tampa Bay. And like I said a moment ago, I do think they're going to get a few more power play opportunities here in this game tonight, because you're right, the whistle was not kind to Tampa Bay in game one. Not that they deserved a bunch of power plays. They didn't work hard enough. They didn't play well enough, you know, to get more power plays, but you would think they've got the opportunity maybe to generate a few more man advantage situations here tonight in game two. All right, we turn to the Western Conference now. First round game two, Colorado, Winnipeg, Avalanche now. There's been a flip of favorites here. Winnipeg was minus 120 home favorites. We now see the Avs minus 120 road favorites here in game two. The total six, shaded heavily shaded to the over. I'm even seeing a couple books at 6.5 now with the total. And what did I say after game one? And what did I say before game one when I told you how much I loved the over trifecta in game one between the Avs and the Jets, which was one of the most no-sweat bets I'll ever make here in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I said, goodbye 5.5 if this game flies over the total as far as totals in this series. And sure enough, six heavily juiced is what we're seeing with the total here in game two, and even 6.5 showing up. I'm back to it. I'm back to the over. Now, I felt like I've really hammered that over trifecta in game one. I'm not going hammer style on the over trifecta tonight, but I am back on it. Over 1.5 first period, both teams to score first period, over 6 minus 125. I am on all three again. I'm going to have to see, you know, Colorado defend better. And obviously, I have to see Alexander Georgiev play much better in net before I'm ready to count on this series, a game in this series being a low-scoring game. We've now seen three regular season games plus a playoff game with these two teams, minimum six total goals in each game between these two teams. And I think it's fair to say to this point in the playoffs, now we've only seen one game from each series so far with a couple of game twos last night, but it's easily, I think, accurate to say this. No player in the Stanley Cup playoffs entering a playoff game is facing more pressure to perform than Alexander Georgiev tonight. It's not even close. This guy is being ripped to shreds, pillar to post by the Avs fan base, by NHL pundits, NHL fans, NHL bettors like us, observers. Everyone is just saying what a shit job this guy is doing in net. Going back now to the regular season, how bad he's been. And it's not all him. The defense has been miserable at times for the Avs too. Josh Manson with the pizza to Nemesnikov, one of the Winnipeg goals, is a perfect example of it. They've got to defend much better in their own zone. Devon Taves has been making mistakes. Josh Manson's been awful the last few games. The depth defensemen are screwing up. You know, it's been a plethora of issues defensively, but they are not getting in the playoffs and in any NHL game. When the defense screws up, you would like to think your goalie can make one gigantic save to keep you in it, bail you out, and that's Colorado's problem. To go with the shaky blue line, they are not getting a single step up, stop the bleeding save right now from Alexander Georgiev. They are not. And he was just, he struggled late in the season. And it's got to be in his head now that the last two times he's faced the Winnipeg Jets, they've turned into the Blue Bombers and they've scored a touchdown against this Colorado team and Alexander Georgiev in net. Seven in the final regular season game, seven in game one on Sunday night. And this is going to be one of the most scrutinized goaltending performances in a Stanley Cup playoff game I've seen in a long time. It really will be, because the pressure, and I'd hate to be in his shoes right now, 6.5 hours before puck drop at 9:30 Eastern. The anxiety and the stress and the pressure on this man's shoulders right now tonight has got to be immense. And it's all about, can you respond and can you rise to the moment? And I think for Alexander Georgiev, it's easier said than done right now with what we have seen from him. So, yeah, for me, it's the over trifecta. I think this is a game, too, where early on, with Colorado being the team in the trail position, I'm kind of interested in those first period team totals with Colorado here tonight. So I'm going to look in that direction again. I'm talking over 1.5, potentially even. I know it's in Winnipeg. That crowd's nuts. I get it. But I think for Colorado, it's fair to assume you're going to get, at least a somewhat good start out of them here in this game. Because, look, they started game one on fire. The shots were 11-1 to start that game in favor of Colorado, and they were up 1-0. And then the first shot, the first quality look that Colorado gives up, you know, was that floater from the blue line. It beats Georgiev, and it's tied. And from that moment on, Colorado was kind of battling upstream, and it's unfortunate. They generated tons of chances, tons of looks, tons of shots, carried the play, scored enough goals, but every single thing it seemed like Winnipeg was shooting at the net was going in, with the Colorado defense struggling and their goaltender struggling, Alexander Georgiev as well. So I'm confident Colorado comes out storming, but I'm not at all confident they win this hockey game, not with this blue line, and most of all, not with this goaltender right now and the way he's struggling. So my approach is I'm looking at Winnipeg live in this game at some point, thinking my game script is Colorado storms early, maybe gets a lead like they did in game one, and we'll have an opportunity maybe to bet Winnipeg live at a better price. That's going to be the approach. So we're going to dabble in the team totals for Colorado first period over 1/1.5 split and the over trifecta. Those are the pregame looks for me. We'll look at maybe a live look on Winnipeg, because I don't need to bet Winnipeg for game two individually tonight, because I've got them in the series. You know, I bet them to win the series before it started, and I had them in game one as well. So, you know, don't want to push the envelope, but there's no way I'm laying $1.20 with Colorado money line full game right now, with just the shakiness we're seeing with their goals against right now as a team, blue line, and especially Alexander Georgiev in net. Alex, what do you think? This game's got so much intrigue, got so much fascination to it going in. What do you think? Game two, Colorado, Winnipeg.
Well, I mean, you started off with all the pressure that's on Alexander Georgiev, but for anybody who's ripping him or saying that, oh, he's a bad goalie or he's a bum or anything like that, you're missing the plot. It's not his fault that he's falling apart right now. We've called this months and months ago when Joe Sakic refused to go actually get a backup goalie.
Reliable backup. I know that's exactly
what
you're
going to get. Two complete bums with the Eagles that you couldn't rely on a call-up. So what was Jared Bednar supposed to do? Was he supposed to continue to just lose games by playing Prosvetov and Anonin when they needed points, when they were in the middle of a three-team division race? No. You had to run with your best goalie, and they ran with their best goalie 63 times in the regular season, something you can't do in 2023, 2024. So now we're in this spot where Colorado's pretty much screwed. Either you sit Georgiev and you completely shatter his confidence and you go with a bum, okay, one of the two, whichever one you want to call up from that's backing him up, or you run this guy into the ground some more and you just pray that your offense can give you 7, 8, 9 goals the rest of the way. That's the spot that they're in right now, because I don't think they're slowing Winnipeg down. And Winnipeg will only slow the game down if they choose to slow the game down, because they're dictating the pace and tempo for the majority of this game. Even when Colorado jumped out to that lead, Winnipeg was right there with it was always tit for tat. It was never that, oh, Colorado just had an overwhelming dominance of play in that contest. Winnipeg always had some effort, always had energy, and that's a team that they're going to be hard to beat right now, especially at home. That whiteout crowd, with every hit, with every move, they give and feed more and more energy to that team. So I was already on Jets. I actually grabbed -105 yesterday. Now at plus money, definitely liking that spot. I also love the first period over 1.5. Even at -130, I grabbed a little now, maybe try to grab a little bit in game, because I do think Colorado will be able to press back. So I also like both teams to score in this spot as well. I see a 165 at FanDuel with that. So those are my three plays. First period over, first period both teams to score, and Winnipeg to take a 2-0 lead.
And Jared Bednar stuck because he's not back and ready to go from his illness, Eustace Onanen. He's not available tonight again. He's out. And Ivan Prosvetov is the backup goalie, and there's no way they're sticking him in there in a game two, unless it gets really bad for Georgiev in this game tonight. So you got to give him another chance, and you just got to, you know, say your prayers, cross your fingers, and hope for the best. It sucks to be in that position if you're Jared Bednar and this Colorado Avalanche team, but that's where they are right now. They got to just cross their fingers and hope this guy pulls out a Dominic Hasek-like performance out of his keister, which I don't think he's capable of it right now. But let's not forget, he has shown in the past, earlier on in his tenure with Colorado, at times as a backup for the Rangers, that he can have a 30-40 save night and be great. He's done it before. He just hasn't done it often, and he hasn't done it at all lately. And that's the concern, is trusting him to play like that tonight. What do you think here in this one, Matt, Colorado, Winnipeg?
Yeah, I'm on the over bifecta here with the game over being at 6. And then I'm also on Winnipeg money line and team total over 3.5, which is +130, +135. I just don't see Colorado not giving up 4 goals with this Winnipeg team being as deep as they are. And then I've also got a prop that I love in this game, but I'll bring it up a little bit later.
All right, good stuff indeed. Now, you're wondering about the angle that we've talked about, right, so far on this show, and I do want to mention it again one more time here. The angle of the team that lost the previous game, you bet their team total over 2.5 in the next game. Unfortunately, the Colorado team total is 3.5, so it doesn't apply. For me, the team total has to be 2.5 for that angle to apply. Because last night, the two teams that cashed off a loss, their team total, they scored exactly 3 goals, and it went over 2.5, Toronto and the Islanders. So that's why when it's a 3.5 team total, I'm laying off. And so, to me, that angle only applies to when the team total's 2.5. So that's why Colorado doesn't fit that bill tonight, but even though they're off that loss. You could take a shot with the over 3.5, but like I say, for me to actually bet it, it has to be a total of 2.5. Speaking of that, great segue. By the way, as far as props, I should mention, there's a lot that I'm interested in here as far as the props go. For the Avalanche, I think Zach Parise is worth a look too, because I didn't mention this on the last show. I only found out when the line rushes came out before game one. They put him on the top line with MacKinnon and Rantanen, and you can find him upwards of +650, +700 to score a goal. So as long as he's playing with MacKinnon and Rantanen, they didn't put Big Val Nichushkin on that top line. They put Zach Parise up there. So there's at least value. You know, it's a question of whether he can produce with that opportunity. Lekkonen and Nichushkin's absolutely anything. Nichushkin is worth a look. He's a playoff performer. He showed it last year. Already in game one, we saw what he did, even though they lost 7-6. So Nichushkin's worth that look as well, as far as I'm concerned there, for props tonight in this game. Lekkonen as well. He got on the board against Winnipeg the first game. And then for the Jets, look, Gabe Vilardi only had 1 point somehow, even though Winnipeg scored 7 goals, but I'm sticking to Gabe Vilardi goal, assist, point. Kyle Connor's on fire. Have to go back to the well there. Toffoli was quiet, but yeah, I could see him getting going. And the one that I like the most for Winnipeg, Adam Lowry. Adam Lowry, man, he's a playoff performer. He had 4 goals in the first round last year against Vegas. He had 2 goals the other night in game one. That's 6 goals in what? Just like 7 playoff games, 6 playoff games for the Jets going back to last year. He's one of my favorite captains in the NHL, undoubtedly. Just great in the playoffs, takes the body, willing to drop the gloves, never backs down, sticks up for his teammates, crashes the net, physical, scores big goals, elevates his game offensively in the playoffs. So Adam Lowry, you're getting another great value on him to score a goal. That's just what he does. Shows up every night for this team. Unbelievably great captain. I'd have him on my as a captain on my team any day if I were putting a team together. There's no question. Adam Lowry, heart and soul player in this league for this Winnipeg Jets team. Wouldn't shock me to see him find the back of the net. And again, you're getting good price there. I see over +500 at some books. Once again, for Adam Lowry, Betano, the Ontario book, had him at +1050 to score in game one, and I had a piece of that. I couldn't believe it was almost 11-1, but that was a mistake. That was the only book that had it like at that kind of price. Most other books had Adam Lowry in the +550, +600 range. I see +700 for Adam Lowry at BetMGM tonight to score a goal. So that's still an insanely good price for what he's been able to do here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. For the Winnipeg Jets. All right, final game of this Tuesday night, Nashville-Vancouver. Vancouver up 1-0 in the series, but a little bit of unfortunate and probably worrisome news if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan. Heading into game two tonight, Vancouver -130, home favorites, 5.5 the total here in this game. I think the first thing you want to mention here is obviously the big news of Thatcher Demko ruled out for game two and possibly may not return for the rest of this series tonight after being ruled out due to injury. People are speculating that the injury probably occurred on that incredible post-to-post save he had to make early in that game on Beauvillier in game one. And I think there's definitely a chance that was probably where the injury might have happened. But either way, it's an injury that's kept keeping him out tonight. And all of a sudden, he's going to be out for at least game two and maybe multiple games and maybe the whole series. That's what the early speculation is. So it's a huge loss. And with all due respect to Casey DeSmith, when he first took over for Thatcher Demko during the season, he played okay, played well. He did not play as well down the stretch, and there were some games that really got tough on him down the stretch. So it is a downgrade. I'm sure Alex, who keeps the goalie charts throughout the year, will agree this is a downgrade, and this is not a slight on Casey DeSmith. This is more of just how terrific Thatcher Demko is and has been this season for the Vancouver Canucks. So interesting to see how this goes. Now, Matt and I were talking before the show started. Sometimes when you see this happen, the team rallies around it, right? The first game, they lose a key player. In this case, they're starting goalie, and they show up, and they defend harder. They block more shots. They make it more difficult for the opposing team to score goals, play better team defense. Easier said than done, though, because you've got a Nashville team off a loss. You know they're going to come out swinging, come out stronger here tonight in game two. So I have no doubt they'll try to use this as a rallying cry and a rallying point, the Vancouver Canucks here in game two. But I do have my concerns because I think Nashville has been good off a loss going back to when they put that monster streak together. It's a Nashville team that knows that they can play better, and they had opportunities. They had Vancouver down, you know, in that game going into the third period, and then the Canucks came back to tie it and then win 4-2 with that third period onslaught. They know they were right there, and if they play a better 60 minutes start to finish, they have a chance to get back to Music City with a split. I lean Nashville, but what I like more is the team total. I like the team total a lot more because I don't know if I want to fully trust Nashville to win, but over 2.5, which has gone up, by the way, this was around plus 100 or so. It's up to minus 120. I'm even seeing minus 130 at some books with Nashville team total over 2.5. Obviously, bettors reacting to the Demko news, but I still like it at the current price. Nashville team total over 2.5. And full game over as well for me in this one, over 5.5, minus 125. It has moved to 6, this total as well at some books, the full game total. So shop around. There are still a few 5.5s that are out there. So make sure you shop around for that. So, yeah, Preds team total over, full game over for me here. Alex, game two, Predators, Canucks.
Yeah, if you're a Canucks fan, I wouldn't overreact too much. Obviously, this is bad news. But I wouldn't overreact to the fact that Casey DeSmith coming in this particular series against Nashville. He has playoff experience with Pittsburgh. This is still a guy who could, you know, give you a couple of quality starts, maybe steal you a game in a series. That being said, with already having a 1-0 lead, that Vancouver's still in fairly decent shape. It's what's moving forward, possibly having to play L.A. or Edmonton. That seems to be where the problem would lie, right? Any of the teams that are in that central division quadrant, that would spell doom having Casey DeSmith in a best of 7 series. So if you've got Vancouver futures like I do, maybe you want to look for somebody else. Maybe this might be the run don't walk moment to grab Winnipeg to win the West and Winnipeg to win the Cup, and maybe some Hellebuck Conn Smythe as well in that spot. Those are three things I actually did do before getting on air when hearing this news break. So that being said, in this game, I like first period over. But minus $1.15, this is one I think we can wait for and grab plus money with. So I'm not going to even grab anything early. I'm just going to wait and see the pace of this and maybe grab some first period over early in the contest. Don't want anything to do with the full over at 6 because now, like I said, Nashville, knowing that they have the chance to, you know, tie this series up and go home, and now we don't have to face Demko potentially for the rest of the way, that might give them some big energy, and UC Soros could step up and have a big game. He's now the A-side goaltender in the series, and he might react and step up in a huge way tonight. So I'm off the side, off of the full game total. We'll play first period over live. And I did grab Nashville team total over 2.5 because I grabbed that earlier, though. It was minus $1.05. Now at $1.25, $1.30, I'd be a little leery of that. It's one you can also, a lot of team totals, you can kind of wait and grab a better price in-game with as well.
All right, good stuff there. So and Alex got on the team total over 2.5 early. And again, this fits our angle that we've been talking about. The team that lost the previous game in the series, you bet their team total over 2.5, if it's 2.5 in the next game. And again, if You follow that angle. They went 2-0 last night with the Leafs and the Islanders, and it's in play tonight with Washington. It's in play with Tampa Bay, and it's in play with this game here with Nashville. Again, team off a loss, bet their team total over 2.5 the next game. Matt, what do you think here, Nashville, Vancouver?
Yeah, see, I can make a case either way. I felt, you know, we talked about it earlier, as you mentioned. I think Vancouver can definitely shut the door, play a little tighter defensively, and still come out of this with a win. I don't know if I want to lay the minus 130, though, knowing the Demko news. And then same thing on the other end. You know, that makes me more confident that Nashville does get that 2.5. But now that it's dropped to like minus 135 is what I'm seeing on my book. I don't know if I'm going to lay that price and trust Nashville to score 3 either. So I kind of go back and forth. I think this is going to be a pass game for me. Similar to what Alex mentioned, I do like the first period over. But I think maybe if you get 2, 3, 4 minutes into the first period, you'll get a much better price than minus 120. So this will be a game that I'm watching, you know, obviously, and excited to see how it plays out. But I don't think I'll have anything on it pregame.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Great analysis. There are a bunch of props I want to mention here with this Nashville and Vancouver game. For Nashville, O'Reilly, Mr. Playoffs, scored the other night. Philip Forsberg, I think, you know, he didn't score the other night, but he did have a point. I think it's this is the time for him to score a goal. You know, you go from facing Demko and shooting on Thatcher Demko to Casey DeSmith. Keep in mind, Demko had to be phenomenal at times in game one, because they did give up some good looks, Vancouver, and those same good looks against DeSmith tonight, if they give them up, you know, are more likely going to result in Nashville goals. Keep that in mind. So Forsberg maybe to get going. Treasure Cat says Mark Jankowski. I agree. That line with Jankowski, Sissons, and Zucker was very good. Zucker, too, they brought him in for playoffs for some boost in production, and he scored in game one, so that's not a bad look. Yossi, you know what? Yossi and Forsberg, parlay of 2 points or two, yeah, for both of them, I think is good. Yossi and Forsberg tonight. I'm going to take a shot with that. Over 1.5 points, same game parlay for both. Not just point parlay. I'm talking about over 1.5 points parlay for both of them. Roman Yossi and Philip Forsberg tonight. And then for Vancouver, there's still a few that I like for them. I'm going back to Connor Garland, goal, assist, and point. He didn't get a goal the last game, but he did get a point. You know, Miller, Besser have chipped in. Hoglander, but especially Dakota Joshua. You know, I've seen enough of Dakota Joshua to think that this guy's ready to be a difference maker in the playoffs and a game breaker. And his props for goals points are still very good going into this game tonight. Dakota Joshua, goal prop plus 440 at BetMGM. Assist prop for Joshua plus 252. To get just a point is plus 135. And if you really want to take the plunge, Dakota Joshua, hell, he had a three-point night the other night, 2 goals and an assist. Over 1.5 points on Dakota Joshua, plus 550 to plus 600, I'm even seeing at some books. This is just a guy that goes to the net, keeps his game simple, is able to score from those tough areas there, and the kind of goals you score in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, yeah, it's hard to shy away from Dakota Joshua player props with the way he performed in game one and with the price you're getting with all those props involving him tonight. Great stuff. A shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it. 500 live viewers just about currently. We appreciate all of you joining us. A reminder, we have 2 more Stanley Cup playoff live betcasts coming up here in the month of April, and they are both Patreon exclusive. So make sure you sign up if you want to be able to join us this week, Thursday, 2 nights from now, April 25th, and then next Tuesday, April 30th, Patreon exclusive live betcasts. And you can sign up and subscribe to join us for those 2 Patreon exclusive live betcasts and the rest of our Patreon exclusive live betcasts for the rest of the playoffs by signing up at patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Again, you get our access to our Patreon exclusive live betcasts, our sides totals and player props posted every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content. Make sure you sign up. And all off season, by the way, Player Suite interview series is coming back. So we're looking forward to that as well. Make sure you sign up and subscribe. just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And of course, check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and get your merch over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, we should have a new promo coming up in the next couple of days. So definitely browse around at the store and check out some things you like, and then wait for that coupon to pop up at the top of the page, which is over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
And make sure you update your, if you want, listen to the podcast and you download the podcast, make sure you update where our new home is now. We have a new provider for our podcast, the good folks at Believe, the yes. Believe Network, Believe.com. I posted the link to our new podcast page on my Twitter X account, the Ice Guys Twitter X account as well. That is where the podcast page will be moving forward. And of course, the podcast gets deployed as it is every day to all the major podcast platforms as well. So again, check that out. Believe, our new podcast facilitator, if you will, of the Ice Guys show. So make sure you bookmark that page for our new podcast page home. All right, we've got Bargain Bin Special of the Night, Best Bets, both coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors, Boston Hemp Inc.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, Bargain Bin Special of the Night for this Tuesday Stanley Cup playoff slate. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you got in the Bargain Bin?
Yeah, we're going to go to that Colorado-Winnipeg matchup, and you were talking about him, the captain, Adam Lowry. This guy has been absolutely stellar, and just seeing that his prices are just so damn high to get a goal here when he's been, like I said, a quality playoff performer, plus 700 at BetMGM, taking him to score anytime goal in that game. I think there's going to be definitely some pace back and forth, just like we saw in game one, and he's going to be one of those guys that, like I said, he just finds his way in the right spots. He gets in front of the net. He gets into the corners. He plays dirty, gritty hockey. He's the kind of captain you want to see on your team for sure. So Adam Lowry, the Winnipeg Jets, anytime goal, plus 700 at MGM as my Bargain Bin Special.
Absolutely. I love it. Adam Lowry, Winnipeg Jets, plus 700. Bargain Bin Special of the Night for Alex B. Smith, and that is absolutely on my player prop card tonight as well. Matt, what do you like here? Bargain Bin Special of the Night.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to the same game and the same team. This is a guy that I know you guys had mentioned in the series previews as a potential scoring leader in this series points-wise. I'm going to take a shot with Gabe Vilardi over 1.5 points. He's playing on that top line. He's on their top power play. He did have 2 assists in the game on Sunday night. So I'm seeing it like plus 350, something around that range. So, I'm going to take Gabe Vilardi as my Bargain Bin over 1.5 points tonight in that game against Colorado.
All right, good stuff. Gabe Vilardi, another one that I like. Over 1.5 points, plus 1.350, I should say. Plus 350 for Gabe Vilardi, over 1.5 points. Let me see. Bet365 sometimes has even better price. Plus 450 at Bet365. So Really good price on that. I like it. That's definitely one worth betting, in my opinion, as well. For me, as far as bargain bin special tonight in this game, I'm going to ride with it. It feels like a night for him because I think he's done this too. And the Lightning needed a win. They've needed a good performance. He's been able to step up and score a big goal. It came down to Dakota Joshua as my bargain bin special tonight for Vancouver, or this guy for Tampa Bay. And I'm going to go to this guy, Nick Paul, Tampa Bay Lightning, +380 at FanDuel. Big game for Tampa, trying to even up the series. It's just, it would be such a Nick Paul type of game to step up, score a pivotal goal for his team tonight in this game. So Nick Paul, Tampa Bay Lightning, +380 for my bargain bin special of the night for this Tuesday slate. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we're going right back to the Battle of Florida and go back to what's been working for quite some time now, to the tune of 23-6 the last 29 games for the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is the first period over 1.5. You can get that at -$1.10 right now at Caesars. Definitely expecting more animosity, more intensity in the first period. Tampa desperately knowing they've got to get back and get things on the right track. So I'm expecting at least 2 goals in the first 20 minutes here from the Bolts and the Cats again. I mean, the first period over Tampa Bay, Florida, that is my best bet.
All right, there you go. Tampa Bay, Florida, first period over. And we've mentioned the great numbers for several weeks now with that Lightning first period over run. Alex going back to it tonight. Battle of Florida, over 1.5 first period, best bet for Alex B. Smith. Matt, what do you like tonight, best bet?
Yeah, so similar look, but in a different game. I think the goals are still going to come often. I think both teams have weapons, and obviously there's some goalie question marks. So I'm going to take the first period over in that Colorado-Winnipeg game. That's going to be my best bet tonight.
All right, Colorado-Winnipeg, first period over. Best bet here for Matt Robinson. I like James Howard's going bold here. I like that. With Caps beat Rangers, and Ovi has 2 goals. Wow. I like the boldness. No, that's I like it. Something off the something. Hey, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. You know, no one's going to bat 1,000 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. No one's going to hit it 100% in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll see. But I do think Ovechkin, knowing the competitor he is, he's not going to go tonight without a shot on goal. You know, I think you're going to see a little pushback from number 8, the great 8 tonight in that game. For the Washington Capitals. All right, my best bet here for this Tuesday card, there's a lot. I was going back and forth with a couple of the team totals as well as the Colorado-Winnipeg over. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay team total over 2.5 at the end of the night. I just think this sets up nicely. They're off a loss. They've been good in these spots historically with this core group together. The price is phenomenal, by the way. -106 at Pinnacle for Tampa Bay team total over 2.5 in this game. I think they get to 3 goals here in this matchup. Let's not forget they scored 2 in game 1, and they didn't even reach 20 shots on goal in that game against the Florida Panthers. So a big push from the Lightning tonight to try to get this series tied, and I think a good chance to go get to 3 goals. And keep in mind, we've mentioned this angle a bunch. I'll mention it one last time. Teams off a loss in game 1. Their team total has been 2.5 in game 2, and both times it's gone over. Toronto last night and the New York Islanders last night. We'll see if it can happen again here with Tampa. So Lightning team total, over 2.5, -106 for my best bet here for this Tuesday NHL card. That's a wrap. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Alex B. Smith and Matt Robinson, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we are back with you tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile,
and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.